I'm quoting here from Ellen Aitken. She's a professor of early Christian history at McGill University in Montreal. She says, this is a very nice piece to find. Scholars have argued for a long time over this, and it now seems that 616 was the original number of the beast. Actually, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Adam Felber, one of the panelists, kept saying, he's wondering whether Satan was just, been sitting by his phone for thousands of years going, why does nobody call me? I've got a dial tone. What's happening? I don't get calls. But anyway, it turns out that his number is 616. I don't know if that's his area code or maybe he had his number changed. It could be he had his number changed. Had a lot of crank calls, you know. I was sort of wondering if in fact we were to decide that, you know, that if everyone were to come to an agreement based on this fragment and whatever scholarship goes along with it, I'm not too familiar with that. I was wondering how many other things would have to change. Like, for example, in the Omen, they would have to go back and, you know, the kid has 666 of his scalp in the Omen, Damien. Gregory Peck is looking at his kid's scalp and suddenly realizes there's 666 on it. So they would have to go and, like, digitally alter that. And now, I don't really know, but maybe, I don't know if our listeners, like, are there, like, Black Sabbath songs that have to be redone or, you know, I'm just trying to think, like, how many aspects of the culture would have to change if, in fact, it were 666 instead of 6, or 616 instead of 666. But in general, though, I mean, I know that I spend my entire life recoiling whenever that number comes up. For example, people probably know there's a cab company here in Hartford whose number is 666666 or something. That 666 was a new thing. It's a new thing exchange, and I believe one of the big cab companies around here, I think their number is in some tattooed on the side of their cab, 666666. So they, you know, every time you see it, you got to get a double of a ride.
A little frightened, yeah, absolutely.
You get in the cab, the driver turns around and vomits pieces of all over you or something. But,
for God's sake, go!
But anyway, it turns out it was all a big misunderstanding. But they don't know if you remember. It was established, actually, on this public radio show that 616 is in Michigan, up near Ann Arbor, I think. That's the area code up there. I don't know what other things 616 might be. Or what other sort of odd little coincidences there might be with 616. Some better numerologist, I mean, I would have to come up with all that. Anyway, our number this morning, and somebody got up to ask a question. They said, you know, most of you work for big media conglomerates. You know, what do you think the effect of this massive concentration of media ownership in just a few companies is on freedom of the press? And I said, we're not allowed to talk about that, but thank you for the question. But then Monahan said something. I came in. Monahan was he would unify. He's kind of like Eric Alterman. He's like, Mr. Fight the Power today. He must be very close to retirement. But then Jack Davis, the publisher of The Current, starts talking. And Jack has this very complicated explanation, which I cannot, unfortunately, recreate for you. We'd have to have Jack come on and do this himself, about why it's... Well, it's really good for us that these big companies own. If we really care about newspapers and about the tradition of newspapers, it's really important that newspapers be owned by, like, Dunkin' Donuts or something like that, you know, by some big, huge, acquisitive, non-media company. But he's explaining sort of the market position of The Current and how good that was. And he said, so we have the news, we own, and we're the Tribune Company, and we own the Hartford Current, and we own several websites. And we own the Hartford Advocate. And his voice kind of rising and falling in this kind of chanting cadence goes, and we own two TV stations, and we own a direct mail company. I said, Jack, you're stunning them. You're frightening the audience. And then I explained actually that with Infinity, which owns our radio station, that, for example, if I became embroiled in one of these shield law things that, you know, where I was threatened with prison, then first of all, it would cost me up like a piece of microfood in a New York restaurant so fast. But I also know the mind of Sal Haney, and I know the mind of Infinity, and they would ask themselves their only real big important question in a First Amendment case like this, where I might have to go to prison, I'm going to make any money from.
Yeah, in my iteration of it was, would it be good for ratings?
And my theory is they would in fact cause me to go to prison. Then they'd have a promotion with one of those crappy clownish vehicles of theirs down by the prison. They'd be handing out like
sort of big blow up and
play. Yeah, they'd have you handing out like frisbees with my picture on it in prison fatigues or something.
here. Have some free passes to the new Kevin Costner movie, too. I hear it's very good. These are from your friends at WTIC. Welcome to the Colin McEnroe Prison Promotion Event.
That's what they would do. They'd use it as a, they wouldn't provide me with counsel, or they'd provide me with, like, Mickey Sherman or somebody like that as my lawyer. So I'd definitely go to prison. You know, and then they turned it into a big ratings promotion event. Probably for, like, Garden Talk or something, you know. Then Lisa would be there.
I think we'll be hearing all season, Clutch Double by Jason Giambi. It's time for us to apply to their French sports specific thing. I'm going to show them those. You're on the low life. You're on the low life. You're on the low life. You're on the low life.
I said we asked the Jim Rosio. Our question today comes actually from Sumatra, Indonesia. Although the person who worked on identifies himself only as Bill.
Bill from Sumatra.
Bill from Sumatra.
My love is for six strangers in the night.
Dear Mr.
Jim Rosio,
is there such a thing or are there such things as flying snakes?
No. Nope. Wrong. Snakes do not fly. But what happens once in a while is snakes can get in such a tight coil, which is what we call a grouping of snakes. A group of snakes together, Bruce, is called a coil.
Really?
Yeah. That one snake can get close enough to another snake and cause that snake to go flying through the air in close contact. But no, snakes don't fly, but snakes tightly group together in what we like to call a coil. The lead snake in the coil can fly off at any time.
And remember, if you're not the lead snake, you never change. Museum of Art for an original giant puppet full-force dance theater visual fantasy called Drop. So we need some puppets in here. We need to be on top of
this. Actually bring puppets in the studio.
We might have to bring the puppets in. I don't know. I just don't like
puppets
the
radio.
I don't like that's the big puppet activity that's going on and we don't know about it. I mean, I do know a little bit about it.
Yeah.
So we go to the phone here, Ray from Cheshire.
Yeah, Ray
from Cheshire.
Good afternoon, John.
Well, so I'm going to let you. I'm going to be the congressional president. I wasn't.
Out
in the lobby, there was this woman of a very sour cast of face vicious temperament. I would say she was 75, 80 years old.
No.
And she came in to claim some pie. Is that
right?
I'll let you take over.
Well, I walked out there. And I was just, was talking to talking to Lisa Marie, the receptionist. And I just said hi, and she started in telling me that she liked me, and she didn't like you because you were just a woman.
Like the prize.
Right.
Yeah.
Not Lisa Marie.
Yeah.
But the one that came to collect the prize.
She doesn't like me either, but that's not a big deal.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty much a different thing here in the building. But so she starts ripping on you because you're like a wise guy or something to that effect. And so Bobby shows up, and guess who started talking? And started saying, well, no, Collins are a good guy and all this stuff. She goes, I don't like him, and la la la. And so apparently Bobby had to say, I'm a good guy. He goes, who offered us him to say, I'm a good guy? Anyway, we'll get to that later. So this was right about the point. When you came bolting out of the back door here of the lobby and started in having a conversation with us.
Yeah, I wanted to know more about it. But first of all, and she showed up to pick us some prize that she won on the Gardening Ex-Con show, the Len Lisa show.
Right.
And so then Tristano, our Estonian marketing director, comes out with sacks of dried poop, which I believe
he's got
so he doesn't know. I think it is native land. That's what they barter with or something. It's a custom. And so she takes those, and I'm yelling at her, I hope your plants die. I hope you know.
You did. I hope your plants die. That was good.
I hope your plants die. You're a rotten person.
Yes, she
doesn't really any of this very well.
No.
And then she comes back in, she starts squawking that she's won something else, and she hasn't been given that. And I need to know whether, as a radio host, I'm allowed to intercept these prizes when people clearly are not deserving of them.
I don't think that's how it works.
And say,
if we only allowed decent people to win prizes, we wouldn't be given much out.
Right. So anyway, if you see a nasty, ill-tempered, sour-faced old woman driving around with sacks of manure in her car. That's the woman who was just in here hurting my feelings. And I'm devastated. I can barely go on with this radio show.
Sacks of manure in her car?
A little sack of dried poop, courtesy of your friends at WTIC.
What the hell was that? One, there was a bag. Yes, there was a bag of dirt.
I listened to the Lenny Lisa show on Saturday. I thought it was a very enjoyable show.
No, you did.
No, I did. I actually listened to it. I listened to some of our Saturday programming. Just first range. We'll see your face. And I thought that it was a nice show.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. No, I did. I had it driving around and I had it on in the car.
Driving around and you had it on in the car.
I was listening to the Lenny Lisa show and they're talking about...
And this was Saturday.
Yeah. And they're talking about pruning plants and stuff like that.
Oh. Well, you weren't here Saturday.
Well, I left later in the afternoon.
Oh,
I wasn't long enough to hear that. You know, and then we're saying, then the gardener's gone. He's going, you know, sometimes you got to teach these plants a lesson. You know what I'm saying? You got to teach them who's boss. They start turning up, and you take the pruning thing, you clip them up. You say, hey, not a thing. Take this.
Weed whacker.
Yes.
So go right
to the guy. Set them on fire. Then say, hey, Mr. Smart Guy Plant, what are you going to do now? You're on fire.
That kind of thing.
It's a very enjoyable show, though. I thought it was...
Yes, I'm sure you enjoyed every minute.
I had a lot of fun
with being the gardening kind
of
guy.
I want some sacks of poop, too, because you know what I said?
I think it was only one sack,
the
though,
sack
as
of
you
poop
say.
And
poop.
There was
some dirt. I think the other was a bag of
poop
and dirt.
I want some of that, too, if you've got any back
there. You got that? Don't there? There's like right there. Where the geese used to hang out.
There's like sacks of poop out there?
No, you've got a sack your own.
Oh, okay.
You got a shovel in a bag. I mean, it's home.
As you know, I live alone. But this weekend I started growing little herbs and stuff on my balcony.
I had a day, I'm sure you did.
I did. It's actually true. I had a little balcony. I'm up in the what's the floor? I'm up high.
Yeah, good. You want your address too? Why don't you ask?
I'm way up high.
And your phone number.
On the upper floor where the deer and the slugs and stuff, they can't get anything up there. You know. And so I got a whole bunch of pots, and I bought some topsoil, some potting soil.
Right.
And I bought some herbs.
Right.
And I'm growing little herbs, and I'm even growing a pot of tomatoes.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice touch.
I live alone. There aren't so many things that can brighten my day, but I try to find a few little things that I can enjoy.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm thinking, boy, if I knew there were sacks of poop here, I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have gone out to Patrice's and bought all this stuff.
Yeah. You could have gone right out here, shovel, bag, you're all set.
Well, I think Tristano has some bags of special poop out there.
How much more special can you get than that goose stuff?
By the way, just speaking of life in the American workplace, according to the Washington Post, methamphetamine use in the workplace rose last year, but the use of the drug grew at a slower pace than in recent years, according to a private company that conducted 7.2 million office drug tests in 2004. While positive tests rose 3% in 2004, in 2003, those testing positive had increased 68% from the previous year.
Well, I think it's you try reading some of the commercials we read with our little crank, you know?
Don't you need a little help? Get through this last half hour. You try talking to Locutus.
Yeah, why don't you mention that?
Sometimes you need a little help. Sometimes you need to... The other thing I want to say, I'm going to be talking about this a lot until you are all bored to tears, but I'm doing this thing, I think it's on Sunday, June 5th, or Sunday in June, whatever that is, where I'm going to be reading a poem by Wilfred Owen as part of this original orchestral piece with this youth orchestra at the Hart School. We're doing this at the building theater at the Bushnell. And so I had my first rehearsal with this orchestra last night, and it was so much fun. But I am a moron. I never know where we are in the musical piece. I get lost. I can't count the measures. So the conductor pretty much has to point to me for everything. Because I am lost constantly. Everybody else there is like a high school kid, and they're all brilliant and know what we're doing.
The high school?
Yeah.
Cool.
And I'm in... And then they clap for me at the end, but it's like they're clapping for some, it's like a Boo Radley or something, and I got through the thing without drooling.